Good morning, Bridge Church. Come on, you can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know it's early, but first of all, I just want to say, my voice is going, I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity to speak. I do not take it lightly because it is a big responsibility when you're speaking, so thank you very much. And I have to say how awesome it is to have a pastor called Cookie.
Yeah.
I know his name's Richard, but from the church that I've been brought up in, where there's more bishops, prophets and apostles, you know, everybody wants to be an apostle or a bishop, but to just be called Cookie, that is just so cool. And you know, we can see the fruits of that, that you can hold a conference like that, that you're approachable, you know, so big up. Pick yourself up, yeah. So today, I kind of want to talk about transformation and evidence of the transformation. So I'm just going to just kick off. Barry, you're my mate. Innit? I love Barry, I really do. You know, my mother, who is quite posh, and she went to a what they call the little Women of Glow years ago, and saw Barry, and she could never forget him. I met this awesome guy. I mean, she hasn't got one humorous bone in her body, but she loved him. So from then, you know, Barry's been like, young mucker, good lad. So yeah, so, you know, there are people today who say they've met with the Lord Jesus, yet they continue to live the same way. You know, to be the same person. But I know you can't meet with Jesus and be the same. Yeah. You just cannot meet with Jesus and be the same. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed, and behold, all things have become new.
Yeah.
So this morning, I want to just go through a couple of people who met with Jesus and their lives changed. Now, the first one is one of my very, very favourite guys. He's a guy that I can kind of relate to in a certain way. And this is the man in the cave, the demon-possessed man. So in the region of that place, beginning with G, there lived a man tormented by many demons. His name was unknown, but the locals called him Legion because he was possessed by many, many demons, evil spirits. He roamed around the tomb. It says that they couldn't contain him. They'd tie him up with metal bolts and he'd break out. He'd just run around mad, naked, screaming. And sometimes, you know, in your addiction, you can feel like that, like you're losing your mind. You know, people, you know, stay away from you because they think that you're out of it. So this man, Jesus came in the boat one day and the guy just ran up to him. It's like he knew who he was. As soon as he saw Jesus, as soon as Jesus stepped out the boat, he saw him from a distance. He ran and he fell at his knees, cried out, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High?" He knew who he was. "In God's name, don't torture me." I mean, who said he was going to torture him? But he knew who he was. He knew the authority that he had. Jesus looked at the man with compassion and commanded the unclean spirits to come out of him. "What is your name?" Jesus asked him. He says, "My name is Legion," the man replied, "for there are many demons." He begged Jesus not to send him over the cliffs, but into the pigs. I mean, the poor pigs. The pigs are just innocent. You know what I mean? They were just innocent. You know, and he put them in the pigs, and the entire herd rushed down the steep bank, and they were drowned. Now, the men that was in charge of these pigs, they were just astonished, and they ran into the town to tell everyone what had happened. And the people came out to see for themselves, and they saw the man, the demon-possessed man, clothed and in his right mind. Clothed and in his right mind. Now, this man was so excited and so happy and so that he wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus said, "No, go back and tell people what's happened in your life. go back and tell people what's happened in your life. That was a transformed man. That man was never the same again. The second lady is the Samaritan woman, who we are very, very familiar with, who met Jesus at the well. And she came to draw water. She had to draw water at a time where nobody else was there, because she was looked on bad. You know, the Bible doesn't even, they don't even give her a name. She's the Samaritan woman. You know, they talk together. In fact, they say that that's the longest conversation that Jesus has ever had with anybody. I'm not sure if that's true. Remembering Alison last night. They talked together. As she talked with him, her old ways and ideals were brought to light. That she'd had lots of husbands, and the guy that she was living with now at that moment wasn't her husband. Now, many Samaritans, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't mix. You know, they just didn't mix. They were deemed as, I don't even know, they just didn't mix. They just didn't get on. They weren't supposed to talk together. But Jesus had compassion of this woman. He told her about herself. But Jesus has a way of rebuking or challenging you, but it doesn't hurt. It might be like a quick ouch, but he does it so good. He has a way of doing it so good. I mean, I fight with him all. Sometimes I have a right carry on with him. Why? Come on now. Just this little... No, no, no. But I always lose. So I don't know why I bother. So this woman, this woman was just so shocked. He told me about myself. It doesn't say that this woman hung her head in shame. It didn't say that she told him off or said, how dare you, how could you, how... It didn't. It says that she was just like, wow, you must be the Messiah. And it said she left her pot that she'd gone there and ran back into the village. Come and see a man who told me everything about me. Now, that woman is said to have been the first evangelist, because of her, many people came to see, and it says that they were changed. You know, Jesus put a message on this lady's lips that was never there before. All the shame was gone. She was transformed and was not ashamed to tell people. A changed life. And the evidence is the fact that people listened to her. They wouldn't have even looked at her before, but they listened to her. They've seen the change in her. Then we have, when Alison started to talk about Zacchaeus last night, I was like, shh, stop. Because Zacchaeus is my third one. A man named Zacchaeus, who had heard much about Jesus. The tax man was, well, should I even say that? We still hate the tax man. Well, don't hate them, but we don't exactly love them, do we? At the end of the month, when we look at that paycheck. Ugh. You know, Zacchaeus had no physical ailments, but he felt a great need to meet Jesus. He must have got to the end of himself and thought, something needs to change. And he must have heard the rumours about Jesus. And it says he was a very short man and he couldn't see, so he climbed up. I used to sing a song at school, to Sunday school, back in the day. Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up to the sycamore tree for Jesus he wanted to see. Something like that. So he climbed up this tree, and there's nothing worse of you discreetly climbing up a tree, and here comes along Jesus and says, oi, come down here, you. I'm coming to your house. You know what I mean? And some of us would think, as women would think, my God, is it tidy? And we don't know. If I'm going to leave the house, Jesus is coming, you know? And I mean, a man probably wouldn't be bothered. He'd be like, all right, but... You know, it was coming, it just showed Jesus seeing him where he was. You know, he called him down and told him he was coming to his house. And I think as Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, the transformation happened. Because as soon as he met with Jesus, came down, he started to confess. He started to see, it's like he saw himself. And he started to say, what I have taken, I will give back that and more. He just started to confess. He started to just pour everything out. And that's what we need to do sometimes. Sometimes we might come like Paul had the guys coming up here last night. And he was saying, give. you know, it's all right coming up here and saying, I want to change my life, when you've got drugs in your pocket, you've got this, you've got knives. Back in my day, it'd be guns. You know what I mean? I've been to a conference one time where there were guns lined out at the altar and knives. Sometimes we need to confess. He already knows, but it's the act of confessing. This man's action did not save him. This action gave the evidence that he was already saved by the time he came to Jesus. Something happened, I believe, on the way down from that tree. The rich tax collector, who had cheated many people in order to become rich, was now willing to give it away. This man, who many people dreaded to see because they knew he would take away their money, was now giving back money to the people from whom he had taken it. He met Jesus and his outlook on life and his perspective had changed. He had a new goals and a new ambition. That's the evidence of a changed life. You know, lots of us, we can say we're Christians, but where's the evidence? The Bible says, by your fruits, you shall know them. You can say you're Christian all day long. You can put in your Facebook and your Instagram and your Twitter, Christian. What does that mean? Where's the fruits? I mean, I get annoyed when people do that because I think to myself, social media is a massive platform. And you put you're a Christian, but then they see you cussing on there. They see you putting bad comments on there. You know, and Christians get that bad name. Where are the fruits of your Christianity? The evidence, you saw all the evidence in all these people. In all these people. So I've spoken about a transformed life. What does transform mean? The term transform generally means to make a thorough, a women's perspective on thorough and a man's perspective of thorough are very different. I asked my husband's great, he's Scottish, he used to be a football casual, he wears pure Stone Island, CP Company, he does my nutting, Ralph Lauren. And he'll dust and he'll tidy, but my goodness, it's not properly. Not properly. So thorough means thorough. It says thorough. Thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance or character of something. Last night I spoke about the caterpillar. When a caterpillar changes into a butterfly, it cannot go back to its old state. It is now a butterfly. If you plant a seed of a flower, once it becomes a flower, it's a flower. Same with fruit. Once it's an apple, it's an apple. Once it's a banana, it's a banana. It cannot go back to its former state. So when the Bible says, be ye transformed, it means and renewed your mind, it means that you're transformed, you're never the same again. So why do you see people like going backsliding, if that's even a word? You know, they use it in my old church, but I don't even know if people can backslide unless you're Michael Jackson, you know? How can you go back? Were they ever transformed? So, having said that now, I stand today transformed. And I'm going to tell you why. 9 years ago, I walked into Hope House Teen Challenge, a broken, obnoxious individual full of bad attitude and some. The reason I went to rehab was because I was a crackhead with a $3,000 a week crack cocaine habit. I was a prolific criminal. I ran 2 brothels. I laundered money for the Yardies. I smuggled drugs from various countries to the UK. One day, after a massive crack binge, I flipped my car and it spun over 4 or 5 times. Right behind me, how ironic it was, right behind my car was a cop car and an ambulance who witnessed the accident firsthand. When they were more shocked than me, because I was shocked because I had a massive encounter, God spoke to me. This is your last chance. Surrender your life to me. Now, I'd had many encounters, well, a couple encounters, near-death encounters before. That one time, I'd robbed a yardie and he'd put a gun in my mouth. And I think it was the shock of me saying, looking like I weren't bothered, pull the trigger. I thought it was that, but it was God. And then another time I was in New York buying drugs and this guy took a shine to me. I didn't really like him and I told him. Next thing he came running in with a machete wanting to chop my head off. God intervened again. So when I heard this voice say, this is your last chance, I kind of, even though I was confused, I kind of knew that I'd had an encounter with God. When they pulled me out of that vehicle, which was a mangled mess, the police officers didn't even expect anybody to be alive. I didn't have one injury, not one scratch, not one mark, a glass in my hair, down my everywhere. The police officer said, somebody up there loves you. That's how shocked they were. That led me back to church because I was brought up in a Christian family. My parents were really godly Christian people. Went back to church and went to church on Sunday, went to the altar, they prayed for me. I thought, right, that's it now. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to take drugs anymore. I'm fine. That was the worst year of my life because I was fearful of the voice I'd heard. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to be a Christian, but I could not stop smoking the crack. Now, if any of you read the Voices in Hope book, you'll see when they talk about me coming to Hope House, I wasn't the normal junkie. You know, I came there with 10 Louis Vuitton bags, high heels, a big afro. I came into rehab like this. I'm here. I've arrived. You know, Fiona Fallon says she's never ever seen a junkie come into rehab like that. You know, so I was, you know, I'd had money. I'd had things. So that year, I wanted to get, you know, that year, I really wanted to get my act together, but I just couldn't stop smoking. There'd be peak days when I'd be great and I wouldn't smoke. And then people that I'd been trying to get money off that had owed me money for years, I couldn't get money off them, but all of a sudden turning up with the money that were getting smoked. The person that I went to church one day decided I'm going to kill myself. I had enough because I was really fearful. I had two beautiful boys at the time. There was my parents and I really wanted to be a mom. I really wanted to change and I thought I can't do this. So I planned to kill myself. Sorted all that, wrote letters and everything. Had all the drugs and everything I was going to use. Went to church tonight and the pastor at church that night preached a sermon about the Israelites fleeing Egypt. So there's pharaohs behind, there's a Red Sea in front, death at both ends. But at the last minute, God made a way because he's got a plan for your life. And I sat at the edge of my chair thinking, that's why he's got a plan for my life. I ran to him like Usain Bolt. And I started to just tell him what was going through, that I was a junkie, that I was a crackhead, that I just couldn't stop. You know, I was a prolific shoplifter. I was one of the top 10 shoplifters in West Yorkshire. You know, when I left Hope House, the police wanted to know. They thought I was going to rob the church. That's what they did. They thought, she's scamming. She's going to scam the church. There's no way she has changed. She said, she's a Christian now. I was glad to watch her. But I had a lot of media stir because I was just so terrible. So I tried to kill myself. They introduced me to a guy called Brian Hendlesby, who told me about Teen Challenge. Even he thought I was on the scam. Because I was dressed in designer clothes, I didn't look like the conventional nails and that. I didn't look like the conventional junkie that needed help. But one day, around my birthday, June it was, They came to visit me and they saw me in a mess. I had a massive binge. I was crying and they said, we're going to get you into Hope House. 2nd of August 2005, I entered Hope House. Like I said, obnoxious and all that. I had a hard programme because I was 42. I was up myself. You know, I thought I was a Christian. Wasn't, you know. But I met with God there. I met with God there and he broke me into 1,000 pieces. It was ouch, ouch, ouch. But you know something? He built me into the woman of God that he wanted me to be. You know, I hated women because I went around with a club gang of 13 guys clubbing and partying. Not one woman in sight. What do with them? But God had a plan. You know, he had a plan for my life. And, you know, I left there. I've done all sorts of things. I've travelled all over the world doing mission trips, Uganda, Kenya, South Africa, Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica Teen Challenge. I'm going to Romania in 2 weeks with Vicky and for 10 days on missions. I've won awards. I've mentored many, many young people, spoke on platforms all over the world. And I say that not to boast, well, to boast in him. Yes. Not to boast in myself, but just to see what God can do with a transformed life. Yes. You know, and how do I know I'm transformed? Because I've never been the same again. Yes. And I want to just end just to say again, transformation means going from one state to another and never being able to go back. So that's it. I want to leave you with that. So, you know, if anyone's struggling and struggling with going back to the same, allow the transformation. God is a gentleman. He isn't going to force transformation on anybody. You've got to be willing. You surrender. All it takes is a surrendered life. Lord, take over my life. Agree to being accountable. Find a good church, a solid church, not a church that's going to make you feel good. A church that will challenge. A church that will encourage love and challenge. And then you will see the evidence and the fruits of your transformation. Thank you.